the flesh. Matthew chapter 1 tells you this. Turn there. This is not just a word. Paul is referring back. He's establishing some absolute facts. These facts could be used in court of law. Jesus Christ was the Son of David. You can prove it. Now, if people didn't realize that he was the Son of God, they'd say, Joseph was his father. I'll tell you what, if Joseph was his father, look who. He was the firstborn son, wasn't he? Huh? He was the firstborn son of this marriage. Now, Joseph was literally not his father. God was his father. The Bible says that he kept Mary a virgin until she gave birth to this son, who was by God. Did God ever have a son? Yes, he did. Now, Jesus Christ. That's his son. The Bible says in the Old Testament that there was one to come, the word Jehovah, he who shall come. He came in the flesh of a woman. Remember, I keep telling you many, many times over and over again, woman cannot transmit sin. Man sin. The seed of sin is not in the woman. And because of that, God could bring forth a sinless son. You know, maybe that'll tick with you right now. My brother Ferrari used to tell me that over and over again, and it just didn't tick until one day I opened up and I said, the whole virgin birth of Jesus Christ hinges right around that one thing right there. That the woman has no sin to transmit as far as transmission goes. If a woman could have a child without a man, it would be sinless, but it's impossible. See, through the man, sin comes, not through the woman. So therefore, and God made it that way, because he had a plan in mind. Remember God's plan of the ages? He just didn't jump up. I heard a woman preaching last Sunday, and she said, well, God did this. And when man did this, then God does this. When man does this, God does this. You know something? We can't second-guess God because God knows what's going to happen already. And when God created Adam and he put him in the garden, I've heard it preached at times by preachers. Well, when Adam sinned, God sat down, what am I going to do? You know? What a stupid thing. What am I going to do? He didn't have to wonder what he was going to do. He already had it figured out in eternity past. Before man was ever created. You know what? If God is God, which he is, he has no problem like we do. You know, we constantly sit down. You know, one of our children goes out and does something, well, we have to figure out what we're going to do with this kid. God doesn't have to do that. He knows beforehand what he's going to do with the kid. What he's going to do with that. What he was going to do with that. He already had it planned. You know, the Bible says Jesus Christ died of the death of the cross even before man was created, because he knew what it would feel like. He experienced it. Jesus Christ was experiencing the death of the cross in eternity past. You know, we don't understand that. We're limited by time, huh? God is not. These are some big things to us. The legal heir to the throne of Israel was Jesus Christ through David. That's what it says in Matthew, the first chapter. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It tells us here, when it says the son of Abraham, it says the promise of God. Remember? He's pointing to Israel. You remember the promise that God made with Israel? And then he just uses one little simple term here. Let's go back to the book of Romans again. You can read the rest of that. His son, who was born of the seed of the woman, according to the flesh. He wanted us to know that he was not literally of the flesh of Joseph. In Luke, the third chapter. Make a cross-reference to that now. Luke, chapter 3. It tells us in the book of Luke, starting with verse 21, now it came about when all the people were baptized that Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven opened up, or heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age. Jesus, the man, was about 30 years of age. It tells us something about the humanity of Christ, that he was really human too in this book. And being supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Eli, being as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli. All right? Now, Joseph was not his father. Now, this is giving Mary's lineage now. Now, Joseph was the son of Eli. He was the son-in-law of him. And it didn't matter. After that, he was called him the son of Eli. All right, so sister, yeah. No, this was if this was when Christ received the power to perform miracles. Jesus never performed a miracle before this time. I want you to understand that. Remember when Jesus told Israel that they had sinned, the unpardonable sin, if they blasphemed his miracles? Because Jesus never performed a miracle. He said, you can blaspheme the Son of Man and it will be forgiven you, but not the power of God. The power of God had come upon him here. Many times, and especially in some of these books, fairy tale books is what they are, talk about the baby Jesus and, you know, we'll get this term, the baby Jesus, and how he grew up and all the miracles that he performed when he was a child, that he didn't perform any miracles. He never performed a miracle one in his life. The Holy Spirit did it after he was 30 years old. Never before, and that's not playing down the deity of God, that's telling you exactly the way it was. Jesus, the man, never performed a miracle because he was man. Jesus, the Son of God, who had the power to perform the miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through his own power. God only gave to him the power that was necessary for him to have his messianic credentials or his authority to prove to them that he was the Son of God. That's why the power came. You know, the people in the charismatic churches today think they've got to have all this power today to prove something. God has already proven it. We don't need it anymore. He proved that his son was there, and he proved that they were receiving the word of God. The word was, the miracles were confirming the word, and that's what is needed. That's what when it was needed. Sister Irene.
Would you
quickly
on Mary? Did she fix the wedding?
You mean before his baptism? He had to begin his miracles? And, yeah. Yes, but he said, my time is not yet. Now that was a very special thing, okay? It was a special performance. And God did that also. He did it for something, and it's a portrayal of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. The wine typifies what? Joy and everything. This was before his ministry. The wine typified joy, that it would be in heaven to come. And this was not really part of his ministry, because he said, my time has not come yet. But because you pester me, I do this. And that's when we get the idea that Mary can make her son do what she wants to do. Isn't that what they're saying? Catholicism, that you pray to her, so she will get her son to forgive you. Jesus Christ is the mediator. In his messianic way, Jesus Christ never performed a miracle. Sister.
So, why would people say, oh, he just
broke
away from the water?
Yeah. So they can drink water. Why do people drink today? To get drunk. That's right. People drink to get drunk. And you know what? When you find people, you find that people want an excuse for what they do, they'll go quote something in the Bible. Huh? Don't they? They go quote something in the Bible when they want to. They say, Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Well, as much as you drink, you must be awfully sick, you know? So for Brother Bill, you have a question.
Well, that was through Jesus Christ. Yes, it was. Miracle.
It was the first miracle, yes. But it was not. His ministry had not begun yet, as far as that goes. And that's the only case. He said, my time has not come yet. But because, remember, you pester me, I do this. This is not part of his ministry at all. This is a portrayal, a prophecy of what it would be like in the millennial reign of Christ, that he'll be able to give his people this joy and all the things that they need. Brother Bill.
Well,
we know how, like, Christ was, how old he was, how long before his...
This was just prior to it. John the Baptist was already preaching.
Just a matter of weeks or months or something?
Probably. Just a short time. Sister Gay. This miracle
is not true.
No. Yes, it was a sign of the prophecy. That's why God put it in the book, because it wasn't even necessary otherwise. That miracle wasn't in anything. It wasn't necessary at all. It was something that was thrown in for, you know, sometimes the Bible will throw something in, just like a dessert. And that is like a dessert, too, when God shows us what we're going to be able to receive in the millennial reign to come. That's going to be for us. All that we need, our wants will all be satisfied. All right. Thank you. Did that help you, sir?
Yeah.
All right. That's the reason for it. Still, in his body, he never performed one miracle under his own power. This was just a preview of coming practice. Like Brother Ferrari used to say, as he used to teach us, this is God's sample case of millennial blessings. You've had people come to you and open up a sample case of paint, or fingernail polish, or perfumes, or something, let you smell of them. Perfumes, or bring the carpet, a little sample of the carpet, throw it up against your wall at home, or draperies. This is exactly what it was. This is God's sample case right there of millennial blessings, what it will be like. That's all. Nothing more. Nothing less. It's beautiful, isn't it? All right. Do you have any questions? Let's go on now. Verse 4. Romans 1 and verse 4. We're about finished, and we haven't even got through the verses that we were supposed to cover today. By the way, your lesson material, did you see it up there where it says lesson material on top of your lesson? Romans 1, 1 through 17. Now that tells you what verses to study. That's what's in your lesson. Now your print portion here is only 1, 7 through 17. Don't worry about that. That's just what is emphasized in the Bible lesson. Study the whole lesson. You know, when I get to it, I may not even get to what they print down here, but you already read that anyway. But what I want to get across to you today is the gospel is coming to Rome by way of Paul through this letter. He's reaffirming some things, and he's telling them that they have freedom in Christ. It's portraying the sinfulness of man and the righteousness of God through Christ. Remember those. That's the main basic lesson today. Who is declared with power to be the Son of God? What power? Who is declared with power to be the Son of God? What power? Remember what were the miracles for? That was his credentials. All right, when you somebody comes to you to arrest you, you know. That's right. He comes over to your rescue, and what's the first thing he does? He shows you his badge. You know, look here at my badge. You know, I have authority to get you. You know. You go down the road to 70 miles an hour, and this guy in a red light, with a red light behind you, see a red light, and he said, move over here. So you go over. He runs up there with his badge on, you know. Hey, look at me. I'm a cop. You know, I'm the law. I have authority. The miracles that Christ performed in his ministry was his badge. That's what it was, his badge, telling them that he was the Messiah. Who was declared with power to be the Son of God. What's another way they was declared to be the Son of God? Huh? Tells you right here in the book. What was it? By the resurrection. Jesus Christ said that you take me and you destroy this temple. Now, he wasn't talking about the temple of Jerusalem. He was there when he was talking about it. He said, you destroy this temple. 3 days I'll raise it up. That's right. And then he said later on that the Father would raise him. It says in the Bible also that the Holy Spirit raised him. Who raised Christ from the dead? The whole Trinity did. That's right. The whole Trinity. Well, he was raised from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word Spirit there is talking about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? All right? Spirit holy. Holy Spirit. So Christ was raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God. He was different than all the rest, wasn't he? Huh? There are a lot of people resurrected. We find people resurrected in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, raised from the dead. But he's quite different, because he was raised from the dead and he went to the heavens. And he's there today. And it says, making intercession for us. These other people lived and they died after they were resurrected. Verse 5 says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Now, not only the Jews at one time were in covenant relationship with God in the Old Testament, weren't they? Huh? And if you wanted the blessings of God, you had to go to Israel to get it. If you want the blessings of God today, you have to go to the Lord's churches to get it.
That's right,
if you want all of it. But I want to tell you something. If you want to be saved, you can be saved any place in the world, anytime. Salvation is not limited to a place. You know something? During Israel's time, there was a place to serve God. That was a place, wasn't it? You know what? There were other people saved outside of Israel. They were. There were other people saved outside. But if they ever wanted to serve the God, they had to come into covenant relationship with him. And that was in Israel. Today, it's in the Lord's New Testament churches. By the way, they're all in all throughout the world. I mean. All throughout the world. Obedience. Verse 6 says, among whom you all have been called of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Saints. Saints here means saved, and in New Testament, New Covenant relationship. Every time you see the word saints in the New Testament, it will not mean that. But here it definitely does. It means special. Saints here means the holy ones separated for the service of God. Those people in New Testament churches. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, and as you study the book of Romans, you're going to see some of these words jump back up again. Paul in the book of Romans is one of the most, it's one of the hardest books there is in the New Testament to interpret. Very hard. Sometimes you'll think he's talking about covenant relationship and he's talking about salvation. Sometimes you'll think he's talking about salvation, he's talking about covenant relationship with God, so you have to be very, very careful with this book. From the book of Romans, you're going to find many, many heresies arise. That's right. Many heresies have arisen from the book of Romans. We find that the Hartzells, the Presbyterians, those that believe in the foreordination of God, that God ordained some to hell and ordained some to salvation, and that's the way it is, nothing you can do about it. They get it from the book of Romans. And then we find one very strong group in our people, among our people today, the New Lighters. And basically this is where they start off from right here in this book too. But this is one of the books where they really pray hard on, is the book of Romans. So you have to be very careful with this book when you interpret it. That's why I've said many times, one of the hard ones. There's a lot of books in the Bible that are written in a harder language to interpret than this one, but this is one of the hardest books to interpret. You've got to be very careful with it. The problem is between covenant relationship and salvation. That's the problem you will have in this book. So as you go into the book, remember those things. All right. Thank you for allowing me to teach you today. And Brother Carlson, I think we'll be back next week. Study your lesson. Read the whole lesson, remember. Not just the printed portion in your book. The whole thing.